DW Africa Link.
This is the year of elections. That's what 2024 is being described as, because more than 70 nations have already held elections or will soon select their own leaders at the polls. That's according to data from NGO, the International Foundation for Electoral Systems. More than 17 of those countries are from Africa. And as the year comes to an end, we put the spotlight on Ghana, which is scheduled to hold elections in December 2024. So how prepared is Ghana? And why should the rest of the world be interested in Ghana's elections? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr. and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Ghana is holding its 9th presidential and parliamentary elections on December 7th, 2024. Over 18 million registered voters will be choosing a new president to take over from outgoing President Nana Akufo-Addo, who has already served his 2 terms of 8 years. The 2 frontrunners are incumbent Vice President Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia from the ruling New Patriotic Party, NPP. And then there is former President John Mahama from the opposition National Democratic Congress, NDC. All eyes will be on a country that has often been hailed as a democratic model in Africa. That's after experiencing a stable democracy for decades since returning to constitutional rule in 1992. Fun fact, Ghana is also known to be the first country from sub-Saharan Africa to gain independence from British colonial rule in 1957. So, why should we pay attention to Ghana's elections? For more on this, let's connect with Dr. Ibrahim Mohamed Gaddafi, a political scientist in Ghana. We also have our very own Isaac Kaleji, DW correspondent in Accra, Ghana. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome to Africa Link. Dr. Gaddafi, let me start with you, because for many listening now, okay, Ghana's having elections, so why should we care? So tell us, why should the rest of Africa and the world care about elections in Ghana?
Thank you very much for having me. I think that the rest of the world, and particularly Africa, should be concerned about elections conducted in Ghana, because Ghana has been in the lead. Ghana has been the beacon of democracy when it comes to issues of elections in Africa. And it has always taken the lead to demonstrate democratic values and how we people, I mean Ghanaians, take that as high esteem in deciding who leads them, to development in the country. In fact, let me add that for the fact that years upon years from 1992 till date, there has been a successive transition of government from one to another without any serious issues of confrontations. Even if there are always ways that these issues are addressed. So anytime Ghana is going for an election, there's always an eye on the country to know these issues of election leading to conflict and then disrupting the already democratic credentials the country has built for itself. So they always want to see that. But others also want to take the good lessons from what happens and possibly add up to their own. This is why, I mean, others and the whole of the rest of the world would want to, see what happens next when Ghana is going to for an election.
Right. So just a little bit on that, because you've made some very interesting points about, you know, Ghana being a beacon of democracy. We've had relative calm and peace over the decades when we talk about transitioning, you know, from one government to the other. Why has Ghana enjoyed this relative calm and peace in transitioning from government to government? When you look at, you know, many other countries surrounding Ghana have had, you know, issues from time to time when it comes to their elections. What has made Ghana quite unique considering the challenges from its neighboring countries?
I think that a well-conducted election reinforces democratic norms. And it is based on this that we have not had any issues of confrontations, either political parties against the Electoral Commission, that is the main stakeholder of the elections. What happens is that the processes that are involved in the entire electoral process are things that all the parties agree to before the pace is set for the election to be carried out. So you realize that there are several consultations from the stage of the registration of who is qualified to vote till the point they come, they disagree, they agree, and then they move on. Even up to the point of they agreeing all political parties to sign a peace pact before even this. And then they believe that even if there are issues or grievances that you want to address, the right channels must be followed.
Isaac, we heard Dr. Gaddafi, and he's painted a very strong picture, reasons he believes the world's attention is on Ghana or should be on Ghana ahead of elections. You're on the ground, Kaleji, monitoring the upcoming elections, all the processes that have gone on so far. How would you describe events so far ahead of elections?
I think everything is going well. As we speak, the parties are wrapping up with their campaigns. Because we are just a few days to the election, so you could see more of the buzz in the country with the final rallies taking place. But before then, that wasn't really the trend because the parties had adopted targeted kind of campaigning and also using social media, which means they target groups, they visit the communities, and also visit other, let's say, high-profile personalities in the country or in the communities to be able to sell their messages, which has been the strategy up until now. So the elections are just a few days away, and I think because of that, the buzz is coming up, and everything is okay. I think that people are expecting to go on election day to go and vote. And so basically, we will see many people getting involved and getting the fever in the coming days.
Okay. So, as you said, this is the ninth time these elections are going on. Democratically held elections are going on. What makes this particular election different from previous other ones, though? Is there any major difference to note so our listeners can understand?
For the difference, obviously we have a president who is not running again, which is Nana Akufo-Addo, the incumbent president. He has been in the whole election process since 2008. And so obviously he is not going again. So that is the new thing. But again, we are having a new thing, which is that there's a new candidate for the ruling party who is Dr. Bawumia, the vice president. So we are not having the incumbent president running, which gives the chance to the vice president to run since he won the ticket of his party. That is a new dynamic in the election this year. Apart from that, we already know that the former president, Mahama, is still in the running. So obviously, that will not be a new element. But a new element is that you have a new candidate for the ruling party, and then the incumbent president not taking part in the election. So, and one key element also is that we have the two leading candidates for the election coming from the northern part of the country, which is another dynamic element to this year's election. So whichever way it goes, there will be a president in Ghana who hails from the northern part of the country.
Interesting. So let me come to you, Dr. Gaddafi, because based on Kaleji's points, this is something Ghanaians have witnessed from time to time. It's always, the two major parties. You have the NDC and then you have the NPP, right? And it begs the question, why are these two constantly dominating? Even if they are new, refreshing parties, they hardly ever get the chance. Why is that the case in Ghana?
Thank you very much. the situation in Ghana is becoming more like what we have in the US. Although our situation is multi-party, you would have the other parties not making that much impact or having that chunk of votes to be able to even come third. We have situations where it is either even spoiled ballots would rank third to these two major parties. And it tells you how intense the two major parties have kind of customized the entire electoral processes to themselves. And it's just about them. It is either NPP or NDC all the time. But the interesting thing is that we have had issues of intense party loyalty. And the third force, possibly that would have been formed or that would have come out a result of these small parties, and you find people that will move from these two major parties to join them, is what we are not seeing in the country. In fact, these people are glued to their parties, and there's nothing really that moves. In fact, you come to realize that even issues-based campaigns, when it comes to do with policy of their manifestos, in fact, just a little number that you find them really having to follow what policy that a particular party is presenting and then decides to go with that party. If not, issues of ethnicity, regional loyalties, party loyalty, connections with the candidate is what actually defines both parties, NPP and NDC. And that is why we have had these two major parties reigning. It is either A or B. That has just been our situation.
So you talk about devotion to these parties. Is it sort of a blind devotion that says, no matter what, I just support NPP or NDC? Or what do the stats say? Are there enough stats on the ground that suggest that these two parties, whenever they are in power, have actually done enough to move the country forward, so to speak? Are they actually doing the will of the people to encourage supporters to cling to them no matter what?
Thank you very much. You come to realize that we cannot still move away from the winner takes all kind of politics that we do. I mean, though we're trying as much to move away from this syndrome, it's still at stake. You come to realize that a party that comes into power, have to some extent their people saved. When it comes to issues of employment, when it comes to issues of, giving faith, power has a way of letting their members enjoy this period. So we cannot run away from the fact that there's been progress. Of course, each of the two major parties, to some large extent, have actually added value to the country's development, and then even when it comes to issues of well-being, they have done, to some extent, we would say they have worked.
Okay.
However, there are other factors that comes in why people do not move away from this party or why we cannot have a third force. The point is that these two major parties have established themselves to the extent that they have the resources. And our politics is done in such a way that when you have the resources, then you have the people to listen to you. It is about who is serving my need. And it is these two major parties that has that ability to do that. So even when you are at a place and they are going there to do campaign, the people that will turn out to listen to them because of their much resource base is what you would witness with the high numbers. So because of that already established standards they have had, they are taking that, or they've taken that as an advantage over these other small parties that cannot, okay, or that are finding it very difficult to penetrate in the society to have people even side and listen to them.
Okay. I mean, Kaleji, you've been speaking to people on the ground as our correspondent in Accra, Ghana. Are people just voting blindly because their family members have always been voting for NDC or NPP? Well, let me just remind those listening now to put things into context. When we say the two major parties of Ghana, NPP and NDC, NPP is the current ruling government, which stands for New Patriotic Party. And the main opposition, NDC, is National Democratic Congress. So, Kaleji, coming to you, what are voters saying is the reason they want to go out and vote for either the NPP or NDC? Or are you hearing more people wanting to vote for a new force?
So basically, like Doc said, we have the two major parties who have established themselves. whether I like it or not, for a long time to come, you can only win election with these two key parties. And we have their base obviously convinced that they need to have them in power. The people who you talk to who may seem to have some idea of changing whichever party is in power or voting for a new force, obviously will be people who are floating voters, who are discerning, who want to analyze the economic issues, their conditions, look at the policies of the various parties before they decide. And when you talk to many of them, yes, they seem to be decided as to who they want to vote for, because a lot of things have happened in the country over the past 8 years under the outgoing president and the current party. So they, I mean, generally people are not happy about the state of the economy. But again, when it comes to elections, sometimes it's not just about how people feel, but also what they think should be the alternative and whether they believe the alternative is even better than the current status quo. So people I talk to seem decided who they want to vote for. You see people really not happy about the state of the economy, but again, some of them will not tell you who they'll vote for, or just to tell you that they know who they are going to vote for. And so I'm sure that during the election day, they decide exactly what they want to go for. But largely, it's going to be decided by the floating voters, undecided voters. We have some candidates like Alan Chimanta who left their ruling party, and other candidates who are trying to push through. But again, it's yet to be seen whether they will really make some impact. I'm sure we'll hope to see political analysts who want to see what happens election day, to see if indeed we can have a new theory of being able to break these two strong parties from holding so much control of the political system in Ghana. Yeah.
Right. So, Kaleji, what are the main issues driving people out to vote?
It's basically about the economy. The economy has been a big issue because, if you know, already we are under an IMF program, and we've had some restructuring. People have lost money. We have prices going up. We have the city losing its value. So a lot has happened, and people generally are looking at these things to vote. Now, they are also looking at the policies of these parties, especially for young people, creating jobs for them, give them new opportunities. Those are issues that are important to them. And so these are the key issues deciding where people will vote and who they will vote for, and largely whether they are convinced that the policies or the options provided by both the incumbent president's candidate, Dr. Bawumia, and the former president, Mahama, whether those options really work for them.
Right, right. Dr. Gaddafi, Isaac has given us quite a breakdown of what to expect ahead of the elections and the main issues driving people out there to vote. The thing is, as far as I remember, we've been talking about these same issues, you know, with different governments, whether led by the NDC or the NPP. So I'd really like to hammer a bit on this possible new force, which clearly both of you don't see is likely at all in this election or in recent upcoming elections or upcoming future elections. So I guess my question to you, Dr. Gaddafi, is if the same issues are, you know, repeating themselves, rolling over, is it time for a third force, or is it time for Ghanaians to say, let's try someone else?
Thank you. I think that it's even past that time, from my perspective. We have had the same situations repeating themselves, but my brother did indicated, people are so much glued to these two major political parties that it is very difficult for that third force to penetrate. Even when you have a group that is breaking away from one of these major parties that you have been thinking that could look like a new eye, even with some of their members, they prefer to leave just a few to move, whilst the rest even selves remain loyal to the mother party.
What needs to be done to make a third force strong enough to actually compete with the top two, NPP and NDC?
Good. I think that there's a need for more education. There's a need for more, sensitization, as in what our democracy is all about. As I did indicated, people are in political parties because of ethnic, because of religion, because of, in fact, other social factors. It could just even be family ties and all that, and not necessarily the policies that a political party is championing. So people don't see that as a base to decide. They rather see that this is our person in terms of, let's say, religion, in terms of ethnic, in terms of other social factors, like I did indicate. So you find a regional picture of some trend of elections moving. So you pick up a region and you feel that that region has toed one political line. Another region you pick, you could say that, okay, so this region is also towing this political line. And that is what makes it so extreme. That makes one not moving from the other to join another party. So it's becoming so difficult that you find people within or that is already with a political party that will come out clearly to say that I have moved from this party to this other party because of policy A, B, C, D. And this is the education we need now. Because right. If we have to, tailor our messages to constituents to vote us because we are just one of them trying to represent them and not really issues of development, issues of policy changes that we need to bring about, then it is going to be difficult. You would agree with me that the people that can read and write and understand manifestos compared to just a few that can interpret issues of policies in manifestos, you will see that there's a very big gap there. And that is why it's making it difficult to let these people who cannot actually digest manifestos to agree even with you that if you are telling them that this is what actually would bring about the good standard of living that you and I are wishing for, they will not see it that manner.
Seems so far between you and Isaac Kaleji at a high level. So fingers crossed that things go as expected. Dr. Ibrahim Mohamed Gaddafi, political scientist in Ghana. Also, Isaac Kaleji, DW correspondent in Accra, Ghana. Thank you very much for your time.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
So we will see how things pan out in Ghana's elections. As established earlier, a number of elections have happened across Africa this year. Namibia was recently in the spotlight, and there is a cause for concern. Namibia's top opposition presidential candidate, Panduleni Itula, announced that his party would not recognize the results of a controversially extended election marred by chaos and allegations of foul play. His Independent Patriots for Change, IPC, is hoping to end 34 years of rule by the Southwest Africa People's Organization, SWAPO. Let's hear from some Namibians, starting with opposition leaders, on the general conduct of the elections.
The opposition in this country collective is rejecting with the contempt it deserves the result, the shame result underway to be released by the Electoral Commission. For us, it is not about winning or losing elections. And many of us have a history of accepting election results and congratulating winners. For us, it's to win or to lose in a free and fair and credible election. What has happened in this country was a clear suppression of voters' will, to disenfranchise voters, and to take their constitutional powers away from them.
But we seek to advise the nation to remain calm, peaceful, be brotherly, be sisterly, and let's ensure that we'll guard and be vigilant. Let's not expose ourselves unnecessarily to measures that may be constituted as contravening the relevant laws. What we want to do is to make sure we seek within the principle of rule of law a remedy from our courts.
Then we are going to support and work together with them to bring the Namibian democracy to right. We stand for the democracy of the Namibian people. And this is basically a show of how this election went already shows us how not only current generation, but future generations' democracy has been played with. And we will not stand by and watch something like that happen, because we are here for the Namibian people. And because we stand for the Namibian people, we have come together and stand with all the opposition parties in support to free our Namibian people from unfair justice.
No, I feel like this election, it was a big problem in this country. We have never had such a problem like that. On the ballot papers, they're just missing at the police station. You're saying our system, we are failing the nation. And to tell you the truth, we are not happy at all. So what we want fairness.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
And that's how we wrap up this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.